A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Wii's recording, and then I go.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Mommy.
What?
She's
bit
water all over my...
It was a mistake.
Don't spit on people.
Oh,
don't.
Guys, there's a sea lion in there as well.
We'll have to go.
Hey now, I'm a boxer, gonna know now. Hey now, I'm a boxer.
Holy cow.
Did you hear that? Aren't they just going to cut this bit out?
Is someone going to turn the TV off? But when they do,
it's the Archers, you Burke, in the background.
Oh. All right. Okay.
1, 2 minutes left. 4 minutes left. 4 minutes left on the clock. 4 minutes left.
He shouldn't be asking you to. Not if he really loves you. It's too much.
1 minute and 20
seconds.
I do know.
All right, you two, stop now.
I do.
What?
I've got a couple, okay?
Is this potato?
Oh wow. Oh dear.
I think that is actually how the majority of people listen, through other people shouting.
Ooh, wow. Epic in more ways than one.
Yep.
Folks, this is Dunky Dump, the show about the reality ducky drama that is centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands, the bit of England that I love. I'm the smooth Havana cigar that is Royfield Brown. Oh, my mum and dad just went to Havana 2 weeks ago. And with me, I have the Embassy Regal filter tip that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Jazz's battle against addiction, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dunky Dump comes from Polly and her family menagerie. Good grief. Polly and a room full of caged animals, I think. Who just...
She said she wanted us to understand the conditions in which she is expected to listen in.
Well, that was a proper insight. Too much of an insight, Polly. I'm traumatised. But Lucy, if somebody wants to like corral their children into howling at the strains of Barwick Green, how exactly can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 02-03-03-13-105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, and to do the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek for Learning the Back Bedroom. Derek did a bit of preparation work in anticipation of our visit to Birmingham shortly, and accidentally went to a gay club, got in a fight, and two blokes had to pull him off.
Oh, I took you quite literally what you meant there for a second. I was, where's the joke? Oh, got there. Sorry. The penny had to drop. Thank you, Lucy. Well done. Smashing. Two blokes pulling him off. Ooh. Anyway, menage a trois. Right, folks, we are all meeting up in approximately, what, some 10 days' time now? I don't know. Maybe 12. Can't do the maths. Stop with the faux distress.
It's not faux. I haven't written anything.
You'll be fine. Wing it. I do most weeks. God. Look at me. It's made me the podcaster that I am. Right, you'll be fine. We're meeting up in Birmingham, of course, for Dumpty Dum Live on October Sunday the 7th at 3 p.m. Get your ass to Birmingham, then get yourself a ticket and get into the town hall. Much fun, hilarity and insight will be there on stage round the thing that we love, which is the Archers, folks. We've got Kerry Davis and we've got Charlotte Martin, who plays our Susan, of course, and then me and Luce, and then you in the audience having a roaring time. And also, guess what, Lucy?
What?
Yokel Bear is going to do a live social media report. He's going to get up from the audience, stride over, sit down beside us and deliver it, and then maybe go back and sit down again. I don't know. So that would be awesome. But like, so you've got that. But then also, if you come from some far-flung bit of the United Kingdom, which the way the EU negotiations are going, will not be united for too much longer. Goodbye, Northern Ireland. Ta-ra. Anyway, maybe you want to come to Birmingham and have a weekend full of Archers fun and festivities. So you can come along and maybe stop in the Hallmark Strathallan Hotel on the Hagley Road. We've got discounted rates for you. You can have a tour at the BBC mailbox. You can have dinner with some 50-odd other Archers fans at the Cozy Club on Bennett's Hill in Birmingham. You can dance away at the Reflex Club on Broad Street. You can have breakfast on the Sunday. You can have a canal walk. And then, of course, there is the Dumpty Dum. Now, all of those things, folks, you can actually book them on the Dumpty Dum website. You don't have to have all of them. If you say, don't fancy disco dancing, finished me disco dancing approximately 1977. Well, you can still book all the other bits because everybody eats. So everybody needs dinner. So you can book the dinner if you want to come up to Birmingham, right? And that'll be Lucy's phone.
Sorry.
That's all right. Just adds to the realism of this podcast. Or maybe the shamiterism, I don't know. But anyway, folks, go on to dumbdydum.com and book the bits for the Dumpty Dum weekend, which obviously start on the Saturday and then go through onto the Sunday the 7th. Bits are running out so fast. I think there's only 3 or 5 places left on the BBC Studio Tour. There are a few places left on the Cozy Club dinner. There are hotel rooms still left. But anyway, folks, go for it. It's going to be fun. Now, on this week's episode, we have loads of calls. We got Jan, Andrew, Catherine, Witherspoon and Abby from Brighton. But first, before all the calls, it's the most popular. I say through gritted teeth. It's the most popular bit of the show. It's the bit which has nothing to do with me. It's our GC Lease and a week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Alistair saying hello to Shula. Oh, for God's sake, Alistair, she said. Stop bloody saying hello. It's intrusive. Right, that's it. I'm going to have Elizabeth over for tea. That's what you've driven me to, Alistair. Bastard. Poor Elizabeth had to listen to that for half an hour. And then, Elizabeth, he asked me how I was. How I was, bastard, before slinking off home, only to be greeted by Pip, staggering around with her baby in a wheelbarrow, hoping to find someone vaguely competent she could palm it off on. Hello, Auntie Elizabeth. This is a baby, I think. It seems to be quite cross about a lot of things a lot of the time, but no one's been back to pick it up yet. Would you like to hold it? I found it likes being that way up. Oh, look, you're good at holding it. Can we live with you? For the love of God, no, said Elizabeth. I've had enough of things dribbling and crapping their pants when I managed to get a shot of Freddy and Russ. Every now and again, everyone stops moaning to ask Elizabeth how she is, and she says, I don't see how things could get any worse. And if you listen to your radio really carefully when she says that, you can hear 5 million people rubbing their hands together with glee. The Ambridge team played the Darrington under-10s and lost. It wasn't all our fault, said Alistair. That kid from Red Reception in the Thomas the Tank Engine t-shirt put a hell of a lot of backspin on. You probably shouldn't have bitten him, though, Hannah. Freddy the Pill Pargeter is still languishing at the stables. Shula's now making him wear army uniform and calling him My Little Dandan, which is making prison look a lot more appealing. Alistair has taken Freddy under his wing. Alistair sounds on top form now. I've lost 13 stone of superfluous flesh, he said cheerfully. Shula. Anyway. He rang Freddy to entice him down to join in the game of narc, snitch or informer that Fallon had going in the tea rooms. You should come down here, said Alistair. You'll feel at home. There's a barbecue and loads of other things that have been skewered by Harrison. Talking of our ever-brilliant policeman, he was there, dancing to the Spice Girls. Are you sporty or posh? Asked Alistair. Neither, I'm incompetent, said Harrison happily. As Alistair has had no luck with Freddy, Johnny went round to jolly him along. They reminisced about the Isle of Wight. Well, Freddy did. Such an amazing 3 days, dancing with Bonnie, throwing you out of our tent so that I could bonk Bonnie. Yeah, said Johnny. I've just remembered why I bloody can't stand you. And now, part of an occasional series called The New Testament According to Ambridge. And lo, there was a stranger from the west, and he was called Philip. No one knew from where he came, but he was like a magic man, and he knew all the secrets and innermost thoughts of the villagers, and he did tell them stories and examples from his own life and his many wives, and how he did give up the fags. And none of them did ask, hang on a minute, who asked you anyway? And anyway, who the bloody hell are you? And so the man didst continue in the village, living with the Ambridgeites, until they all did shrug and say, oh, well, he's here now. Lily and Truss are in their new flat, sleeping in the and cooking in the futon. They've run out of money already, as Truss has spent it all on 14 sheets of plexiglass and some wire netting for an installation he's doing. It's a introspective piece of self-examination called Massive Pillock. Carol Toboggan came back to watch Cary Grant films with Hootie and tell her that Freddie would be fine after prison because Stephen Fry was. Yes, there's one or two differences there, Hoots, and 1,000 or 2,000 IQ points. Freddie has decided to take his piercing out. Not to look better in front of the judge, just to make things more comfortable for Big Terry in the shower block. Is Brian having an affair with Peggy or what? He seems to spend more of his time with her than anyone else. I suppose they have something in common, money, and more than that, an obviously prurient interest into who's doing what for the Flower and Produce show. They spent a lot of time chatting about who's entering their chutney. Bit personal. Jenny's always avoided the chutney, said Peggy. Yes, said Brian, sadly. But he cheered up when he got home and Jenny did something exciting to his gentleman's buttonhole. Carol Toboggan is doing something revolting with a kumquat. Come what? Said Brian interestedly. Then you whip them until they get stiff, do you? All of a sudden his interest in the Flower and Produce became embarrassingly genuine. Meanwhile, over at the stables, Alistair was getting nostalgic with the prophet Philip. I really need to find out a way of using up all this horse equipment, said Alistair. Do you fancy getting on all fours over there, Philip? There's a rectal probe I've been itching to have a go at. Joe Grundy, 146, has been wearing his new pyjamas and dressing gown since last Wednesday and was digging the garden in them yesterday. If this was a normal village, someone would have called social services by now. But the big news of the week is Sausage Boy got his chipolata seasoned by horrible Hannah, who put on a negligee, feigned interest in kefir marketing plans, said, you know how to whistle, don't know, she didn't. She basically said, I'm bored and I've even shaved the back of my legs. Do you fancy a shag? Do you fancy a shag? And even Tom got that message, subtle as it was. So we can all sit back and wait and see how this one explodes in his face like a Primark grenade. Oh, Tom. Surely as a farmer, you've heard the phrase about not crapping on your own doorstep, especially when it's her doorstep as well. The end.
Even the shaved the back of my legs. Hey. She really did come prepared. well done, Freeman. That little biblical passage in the middle of your monologue, which bit of the Bible was that then? Book of what?
It's the Book of Ambridge, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So where do we start? So we were saying off mic that you were struggling with your monologue because not much has happened this week.
No. And
well, because it's all in. It's an in-between kind of period. It's an interregnum,
but
isn't it?
We're just waiting. We're waiting for. It's like we've got to that stage of knitting where it doesn't look like anything yet, and you start to think, oh, or sewing or whatever, and you start to think, oh my god, this is a disaster, and then you sort of put everything together, and then it works. At the moment, there's so many half finished. We've got a sleeve over here and a sleeve over there, and no buttons, and you know. Because we're waiting to, like you said, we're waiting to find out what's happening with Lily because she's gone a bit quiet, and all we get is her on an answer phone saying "send more money," which is actually quite accurate as a student. You know, students, that's what they do. And then we have,
and then we need to know what's going to happen with Freddie.
Yes,
you know, the sentence. The flower and produce show. We need to know what categories Jenny is going to enter. Then we know that Tom entered Hannah. But how did that end up?
Highly commended, possibly. Who knows?
Did he get a rosette?
There's so many things. I mean, at least we've kind of come to an end with the Shula and Alistair storyline, haven't we?
Have we?
He took her up. Well, he took her up Lakey Hill, and then they sort of had. They came to a sort of an agreement that she would confess to everything, and he would. He said, "Righto."
I did think there was that little line about, and I'm going to massively mess this up, but the sentiment was her talking to Freddie and saying, you know, you should not quite confess things, but you should say when things are on your mind, and she'd been caught out by that. So there was that, which happened last week, which I thought was nice. And also, I did like the whole Alistair and Freddie thing. And I know we talked about this a few weeks back about us actually wanting to hear the relationship between, you know, because Freddie went off to the stables, didn't he? And then for a week or so, we didn't hear anything. But in the last 2 weeks, we have actually heard his relationship with his auntie. And it's a nice one. It's a warm one, you know, and it feels very real, you know, him, the crushing realization of actually what potentially is going to happen to him, and him just getting all depressed and, you know, getting all of a bit of a scruff bucket and whatever, and his aunt bringing him coffee and him not drinking it, all this kind of stuff. And then his uncle, I'm not quite taking him by the scruff of the neck, but putting an arm around his shoulder and letting him talk. And that's all been lovely. And I think really the arch has excelled in terms of showing us the human side of those relationships, really. I did really like those, but you still kind of feel like, yeah, but that's really nice, but give us the drama, which isn't something I normally say when I listen to the Archers. I don't want drama normally, but you do need a little bit of a ticking. Well, we've got this ticking time bomb, haven't we, in terms of the, he's going to Crown Court, but it just felt like, last week just kind of drifted by.
Yes, it did. It did. I like the relationship between Alistair and Freddie, and partly because Alistair is somebody who has publicly failed, you know, and has sort of been a little bit ostracized by the family as a result. In a similar, you know, Elizabeth shagged Roy, broke up his marriage. She's, you know, made a series of poor choices. And she's still, oh, darling Elizabeth, she worked so hard. Blah, 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 blah. There's no, you know, they wouldn't dream of sort of cutting her out. But Alistair had a problem for which he sought help, and he's now sort of better. He works on himself, and he faces facts, and he does sort of self-improvement stuff and everything. And they're being bloody horrible to him. And, Jill and all that lot. And I think Freddie is concerned that the same thing's going to happen to him. So he's sort of quite likes Alistair because he's like a grown up that failed massively and got ostracized and is still okay.
Yeah. But and actually, I remember some many moons ago, I think it was when he shouted at horse paintings. We did say, what is the point of Alistair? He never does anything. And he has come into his own with this separation. And I will go forward onto this week, but he does slap Elizabeth down. And actually, Elizabeth says, you know, oh, you got my sister to, you know, to be the petitioner and whatever. And he goes, well, actually, it's a mutual decision. And he just puts her absolutely straight. And it's not something I've said in a little while, but, you know, there is this trope, there is this line, there is this thing whereby the male characters on The Archers are a bit feckless and they're a bit hopeless, and it's the women that run the roost, as is the way in the world, right? But it's just nice to see that Alistair, as you kind of said, has had his travails and whatever, but he's kind of coming through them. And actually, the character of Alistair actually has some substance, as opposed to being not only the failed husband of Shula Hebden Lloyd, but also the failed cricket captain, you know, because he gave up on that, you know, and stuff. And he's the vet who's has his practices kind of wobbled before and stuff. But no, I'm loving a bit of Alistair. And that's all to the good. Other than that, Luce, what else happened last week? Because I can't bloody remember.
Well, Tom and horrid Hannah. What do you think?
You know, I hadn't thought about this until you said, what do you think? And I actually don't have a picture of Hannah in my mind.
Really?
I never thought, no. I when you said, what do you think? I thought, well, would I? Would I have done a Tom? And I thought, well, if, you know, I don't even know what Tom she looks like.
That's the issue, but anyway.
Well, they did each other.
Yes.
But I don't have a picture of her in my mind. I know I don't quite like her, but that's obviously
people
the way.
People don't seem to like her because she's horrid to Neil, and everyone loves Neil.
But it's not just that. She was horrible to Emma, obviously, related to the Neil thing. And there's something else which she said was a little bit off, but I can't quite remember what it is right now. But anyway, yeah, and Neil is a saint. Neil, you know, Saint Neil. What's he the patron saint of?
Chili.
Bell ringing. Chili and bell ringing. So, yeah, if you're going to go up against Neil, you're going to have the wrath of archers and WWE listeners rain down on you in biblical proportions. But I don't have a picture of her. I don't know if she's tall. I don't know if she's athletic looking. I don't know if she's blonde, brunette, brown, yellow, pink. I've no idea. I just don't have a picture of Hannah other than to say that. And actually, this is something which Andrew Horn said. I can't remember if he said it on the show or it was on a tweet, but talking about Lee, the karate teacher, that he thought that Lee was Tom when he first heard the voice.
Right. Oh, no, not another person that sounds like all the other people.
Exactly. For me, Hannah's not distinct enough. You know, if I wasn't listening to, like, if I hear the actor that plays Neil Carter outside of The Archers, I'm going to go, that's Neil, right? And literally half of the actors in The Archers, their voices are so distinct. Hence, I'm in a blooming lift with Charles Collingwood and he goes, ground floor, please. And I'm like, fucking hell, it's Brian Aldridge. And he goes, yes, I am. I'm one of your biggest fans. My voice went so high pitched. I was such an embarrassment.
Get to say, only dolphins could hear you.
Exactly. All the dogs in Birmingham were barking. Anyway, but she just sounds like white bread in terms of BBC Radio 4 actors, you know.
Well, no, she's northern at least.
No, she's not northern enough, though. It's kind of the acceptable home counties version of northern. It's just, but maybe this is to do with the fact that we still don't really know the reason why she's here. And maybe the reason why she's here is to be a little bit of a temptress and to be an incredibly confident young woman who can just say, you know what, it's Friday night, I fancy a shag. Do you want to shag me? And whatever. Yeah. But she can get on with her life and it don't mean anything other than I needed that right then and then. I got it. Yeah. Now stop bothering me. Get on with your life. Because maybe that's it.
And also poor Johnny's going to be gutted, isn't he? Because he does like her.
Does he?
I don't think Tom would even... Yeah, when he says, always, she's great, isn't she, Hannah? She can drink and she can play cricket and she can do this and do that and she's good at cows.
But she's much older than him. She's like a good 15 years older. And actually, Tom did like her because he made a play for her when she first came.
Yes, yeah.
Remember? Yeah. And she went, forget that, Tom. You know, I've moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also she slapped Jazza down. Jazza will be upset when he hears.
Yes. Oh, poor Jazza. He's lost another one.
Hmm. Why don't you offer yourself up for a bit of jazzering then?
A bit of jazzing. Oh, and if you made a very rude joke, then I won't do that. I can hear birdsong outside your window.
You can. Because there's a big tree right outside and the window is open to get some fresh air into my studio, i.e. the bedroom. So, yes, you can hear. And actually, there's a skunk that wanders along here. And I tell you, you get these rather peculiar smells, which don't emanate from me, but from the skunk.
It's like blaming the skunk. What that dog's eaten. That's right.
Yes, you can hear the bird song, Californian bird song. It's rather nice. Yeah. So on that note, shall we actually go on to the calls? Because I've run out, because I actually have no notes. I've actually run out of things to say about last week, unless you
can I just interrupt you to say that this blummin Brian and
well,
some
that's
sort of
just
you know,
nonsense, isn't it?
Crime fighting flower and produce duo. it's kind of funny in a sort of a what the hell way, but you know, Brian has really got to find something useful to do. He really has. He's going round the bend, and Peggy's sounding more and more giddy because I don't know. She's thoroughly enjoying herself.
She's never had so many lines, has she? The actor that plays Peggy. She's like really getting her teeth into this.
But it's absolutely nuts. And it doesn't even make sense because Jenny Darling wouldn't cheat particularly. She's confident enough not to go. And also, if she turns up with exactly the same things that other people have baked or damn nearly, she's going to be in massive trouble and everyone will hate her, which kind of takes away from the fact that she says she's doing this or they say they're doing this because they want her to enjoy her last flower and produce show by alienating the entire village. She did tell them to stop. And that, you know, she said, it's very kind of you, blah, 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 but stop it now. But just the whole idea of it is just bonkers. The fact that they would, just that Brian would even think that much about it. He's, like I said before, he is much more likely to stick a grand on her Underwood's charge card, even if he hasn't got any money, and say, off you pop, darling. That's what he would do. Not piss around in the bull, but trying to eavesdrop on how big people's marrows are. It's just nuts.
All right. But there's a couple of points of correction. Number one, he hasn't got the grand, so that's the reason why he's scrambling around trying to do something else. All right, then number two, it's not
try and say I haven't got any money. They don't I haven't got any money when the rest of us haven't got any money.
This is a conversation which I frequently have with rich people when they say, oh, I'm so broke, and I say exactly what you say. Your definition of broke means you're down to your last 40 grand in your checking account, right? Anyway, but then the other point is, it's not for her to copy. It's for her to do better, to know what the competition has done. So then she can figure out, that's the whole point. Come on, Lucy.
No, I don't know. No, because
what do you
mean
you don't know? That is the point.
She said she was going to make, she said, I'll do something. I can't remember what it, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was. Somebody was making something and she said, well, I'll do, mine won't have the so-and-so in it. And it was the same dish. It was something Clary was making. It was the same dish Clary was making, but without the whatever it was. And I don't know. It's just, anyway, the whole thing's just stupid.
It is stupid. And it's supposed to be stupid.
Yes.
But, you know, that is the other kind of interregnum-ish type of thing which we're living through at the moment on The Archers, is we don't know how the flower and produce show is going to end up. And we're all sat here on the edge of our seats, you know, for the outcome of who's going to win what. You know, whether Joe's prize marrows are going to win first place and get that rosette, and whether, you know, what Jenny's going to make, you know, and I, for one, the tension's killing me, Lucy. Killing me, Lucy. Killing me. Right, now, I think we should have a call or two.
Yeah, go on.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who do you want first? Do you want a bit of Canada? Do you want some America? Do you want some kind of High Wycombe? Or do you want some South London?
Let's have High Wycombe.
All right, then. That will be...
Good evening, Dumpty Dummers Worldwide. It's Catherine Rowan-Jones here in High Wycombe at 88 Ivy Fox on the Twitters. Hope you're all well and thriving. Well, today I'd like to talk about Lower Loxley and the inhabitants thereof, and in particular the floor plan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Jill and her sodding portable writing desk stay there at one time, and then there was Pip? So why the actual fuck did Wuss get put in Freddy's room? I can't see any need for it. Leading on to the drug-dealing heir apparent, Freddy. He's been taken out for pizza. Liz has brought him brownies. Shula made him some cookies and did something with peppers for some peculiar reason. Johnny brings him milkshakes. Will he fit in his court suit? Because he's up before the beak shortly. I think the next trip's going to have to be to the tailor's to get it let out for him before he's no longer out at all. And returning to the Bodgers and Helen's sodding cheese and the latest wild scheme. If I remember correctly, at one time she made two cheeses. There was Borsetshire Blue, now Borsetshire Bland, and Sterling Gold, presumably named in honour of Oliver. When did she stop making Sterling Gold? Or have the scriptwriters forgotten that too? Just some things to be thinking about. Thank you for everything you do. You're my favourite podcast. I love you all. Take care and look forward to hearing you soon. Cheery bye. Jones out.
Bye. Hey,
cheery bye. I forgot all about Sterling Gold.
But I think she still makes it. I think they sell it in the shop.
Something did happen to Sterling Gold. There was something. What was that? Like a couple of years ago?
I'm going to Google it as we speak.
You do that, and I'll try and manfully fill, which will be an impossible task without you to bounce off. But whilst you Google, I'll talk.
You're
so,
not bouncing on me.
You'll be so bloody lucky.
God. What happened to Sterling Gold? She's right, though, about Freddie. He's being rewarded at every turn for being a little shit.
Yes, I suppose it's the fact that folk don't know exactly what to do. Johnny didn't exactly just walk around there with milkshakes. Johnny went, you know what, you've really upset me, you've let me down. We were supposed to be busy mates. You didn't tell me you were doing this. I had absolutely no idea. You made me look like a right muppet. And it was Elizabeth speaking to Johnny, wasn't it, saying that Freddie was really down, the reason why Freddie went around there. Freddie didn't go around there brandishing gifts per se, saying, ooh, you know, Freddie is much more cognizant of the gravity of the situation, but also just on a personal level, his friend let him down and didn't tell him what he was doing, you know. So to put Johnny in that category is a little bit harsh, you know, and he was very sheepish but when he went round there, you know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And he did warm up. But you did say something interestingly a couple of weeks ago about, you know, Freddie's the heir and he's the boy and, you know, and also he's a bit silly. So everybody does Codlin much more than Lily. And you absolutely do see that, you know. I hadn't thought about it, but the way that they are treating him isn't the way that if Lily had done this, she'd have been treated. But so, yeah. Anyway, have you found out what's happened to Sterling Gold? Because I can't keep talking, Lucy.
Sorry. No, I haven't.
All right. So, well done, Catherine. You reminded us of Sterling Gold. And why was it even called Sterling Gold? I used to know, but I've forgotten. Obviously, it's because of...
It was because of Oliver.
Yeah, but why? Because he did what?
He helped start it off. He helped fund it, didn't he? Or was it his cows? Because didn't he have a hobby?
Oh, it's his cows. Yes, he was a hobby farmer for a little bit, wasn't he?
Yeah. I do think, though, I mean, when you think about what's happening, Elizabeth is despairing about... Elizabeth is utterly despairing about Lily, and critical of her decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And... yes, is sending her money, but when you compare her hands-off attitude to Lily with her very, very hands-on, very publicly caring and forgiving attitude towards Freddie, it's completely different. Completely different.
Mm.
And it's, you know, startling, the contrast. Mm. And it's really quite depressing.
Yeah. She did have a little breakdown to her sister, didn't she, saying what a terrible mother she's been, and you know, she's tried to be mother and father and yada yada, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, still, she's done a rubbish job. Right, let's have another call then, shall we? So we've done High Wycombe. What do you want? South London or do you want Canada? All right, let's have a bit of horny boy.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. So, Hannah... I know she's rubbed people up the wrong way in the past, but I think it's great that the script writers have introduced someone who is sexually confident, a young lady that knows what she wants and goes and gets it. But then she blows it, pun intended, with Tom. Tom? Really? Anyway, that's enough of that. My other point is more admin related. For a long time, I didn't sign up to Patreon and just donated in different ways because I didn't want $2 every week coming onto my credit card. However, Royfield saves them all up and does one at the end of each month. So if that is the reason that's stopping some people from becoming Patreons, don't worry. It's just one simple monthly payment on the credit card. Anyway, that's it. I'm looking forward to seeing many of you in Birmingham. Speak soon. Bye.
To be fair, Andrew, I it's not that I save it up. That's the way that Patreon works. So
we try to get the money out of them and they won't give it to us.
Yeah. even if you do a daily show and you got, you know, 50 pence or a dollar for your daily show, a Patreon, I think realizing that people just want to have one payment, save it up to the end of the month. So yeah, it's not me per se, because as Lucy says, if it was up to me, I'd be grabbing your money from every episode. So
you'd be hoovering it out of your pockets if we could.
So we dealt with Hannah being a sexually confident woman who knows what she wants.
The thing that bothers me, I mean, there are enough apps and things, surely, that if you want a sort of hands-free, a no strings hookup, that's, you know, very easily arranged. But to sleep with your housemate, I know people that have done that and it hasn't worked out very well. You know, and then basically somebody has to leave the house. That's kind of the final option seems to be. That's what I just think Hannah is too kind of she's too sensible that. I think she's too aware of sort of her sense of self-protection is too strong to do that.
I don't know. And when I was at college, I did.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no?
Because I can tell you did it, didn't you?
Oh, come on. I'm not going to be the only person that slept with your flatmate. We ended up being together for 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, Ashley Hazel now lives in Hong Kong. She owns a place in Turkey. I'll be quite honest about it. She's one of the loves of my life. She's a wonderful, lovely human being. And I saw her about 3 years ago. Dad lives in Hastings. It was a wonderful relationship. And it started off with that, you know, all kind of furtive, like, oh God, this is kind of wrong. But, you know, 2 days later, pushing a trolley down a Tesco's aisle together, and I realised it was love. You think good things can happen from shagging your flatmate?
All right.
So anyway, so utterly disagree with you, and let's have another call. Should we go to Canada now?
Yeah.
Hello, Royfield and Lucy and all the gang of folks that contribute to Dumpty Dum. It's Jan Mitchell from Vancouver, Canada, calling in. I have a prediction. I haven't called in about 2 years, so I thought it was about time that I contributed my little two bits worth.
Hmm.
My prediction is that when I heard the little storyline of Henry at the karate and wanting to protect his mum, there was a moment there where he suddenly kind of shifted gears. And I think he may have spotted Rob. I think he, maybe perhaps Rob has been kind of keeping track of them and was looking in the window of the karate. I'm not sure. But suddenly Henry decides he's going to become a karate player and he's going to protect his mother. It seemed like quite a sudden change. So I hope my prediction is not correct, but we'll have to see. In the meantime, I wish everybody well and want to say how much I enjoy hearing all your calls and hearing what the contributors to Dumpty Dum have to say. Take care.
You know what? I love Jan Mitchell.
So do I, but that is a chilling flipping... That is a chilling plot prediction or a reason. I really don't want that to be true. No.
And I don't think it is. It's too soon.
Yeah.
When we've completely and utterly forgotten about the character of Rob, then he will make a reappearance. And I think the very fact that the... Cause,
anyway, he's not interested in Henry. He's interested in Jack.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But then again, he could have been looking through the window because Helen was there. Right, so he also is interested in controlling our Helen. But anyway, it wasn't him. I think...
Good. Do you promise?
Yes.
Good, okay.
Absolutely promise. Chillax, everybody listening.
Thanks, Dad.
There is no Rob Titchener hanging around our Ambridge like a bad skunky smell. Do not worry about it, but he will turn up like a bad penny.
Anyway, Bruce Lee or whatever he's called can smash him to bits, can't he? Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah. So, another call?
Yeah.
All right.
Who's next?
Let's go to Cape Cod.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Millie Bell, Yoko Bear, and all of Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, talking to you from Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Oh, well, Provincetown, Massachusetts.
The annual holidays here is at the very tippity tip of Cape Cod.
Oh, I was right.
Feels like
Cape
the
Cod.
End of the world, in a good way. Handsome husband and I are also celebrating our 5th wedding anniversary and our 16th gay anniversary, which, as Adam and Ian and Yoko Bear would tell you, is the date of our first meeting or date or shag or all in the same. Being on holiday, I haven't listened with the same usual analytic intensity, or maybe it was just a week with not too much action. Brian's flower and produce spying has been a bit silly, but we do need that sort of periodic lightness in the Archers, don't we? It was also nice to hear from Carol, and hopefully she'll be around more often. We continue to worry about Jazzer's health. Sometimes we cringe at his social awkwardness, but we root for him, unlike Hannah, who continues to be unpleasant and who I don't trust at all. She'll badmouth you the minute you turn your back on her.
Yes.
But I guess the question of her sexual orientation has been settled for now. Mm-hmm. Freddie, in true Archer's fashion, has appeared to rehabilitate himself in a week's time. Maybe he'll become a barrister one day. Although I thought he was going to get a few months in the slammer so that a new, more mature actor would return to take the current one's place, now I'm beginning to think he'll get probation. It's tough to make a prediction on this. His not going to jail would allow for a tidy makeup scene between Fallon and Harrison and Kenton. Well, that's it for now. Time to get back to enjoying the last day of holiday, for tomorrow we do the 6-hour drive home, and it's back to reality the day after. Talk to you all soon.
There never really was any question about Hannah's sexuality, because when she was in it before, not that any of us really remember because she's such a bit part player, but Jazza was after her and she had a thing for somebody, but I forgot who that was.
Oh.
So all this talk some time ago that she could be gay.
She had a thing for Tom.
Did she have a thing for Tom before?
Yeah.
Well, then she was straight then, isn't she? Was and still is and always was.
Well, she could be. I don't know. It was me that started all this, her being gay thing.
Well, and, no, there's a whole legion of people on Twitter that were speculating and hoping as well. So you weren't alone, Freeman.
But yeah, I don't. I still think she might be. I still think she might do a bit of both or something. I don't know.
Well, I suppose we haven't had a bi character in the village, have we? But if she's going to turn her attention to the ladies, is there a single lady? As Beyonce once. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Helen and Tom, if you were. Oh.
Yeah.
I quite like that. It's all shades of wrong, but I quite like that.
It's a Julie Burchill situation. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Goodness. Right.
Yes.
All right. Well, that definitely would make Helen interesting in my eyes, because, God, I can't stand the character. Anyway, so that's Witherspoon, that's Andrew Horn, that's Catherine Rowan-Jones and R. Jan Mitchell. But you know what we're missing, Lucy?
What?
Abby from Brighton.
Hello, Dumpty Dum morning. It's Abby from Brighton here.
Uh-oh, that was me. Sorry.
Hello, Dumpty Dum morning. It's Abby from Brighton here. I hope everyone is well. I'm just phoning to say a little bit about Tom and Hannah. I found all of this sort of a bit of a surprise. I can't really see what Tom sees in Hannah any more than I could see what Hannah sees in Tom. Actually, that's more likely, because who finds someone moaning about sausages attractive? Anyway, I sort of think that this is not going to go anywhere. I'd be surprised if they actually have slept together. It wasn't very complimentary on Hannah's part, was it? Oh, I've been let down, so you're the nearest thing about you'll do. Why would
like any man would worry about that?
About Hannah, I've got a slightly sexist edge. She is blunt and she does say what she thinks, and some of what she says is objectionable. And I know people didn't like her being horrible about Neil and to Neil, but you know, just because she's a woman, that doesn't mean that she's not allowed to speak her mind. I'm interested to see where this goes, but I don't think they're right for each other long term. That's all I wanted to say. Hope everyone's well. Cheery bye.
I know I did kind of mutter this under my breath, but that was such a female perspective on what Hannah actually said to Tom. She said, somebody's let me down tonight. Do you want to have a bit of a go? He's single. She's single. 99.9% of men are going to go, all right, then. That's not at all a problem. It's not at all a problem, Abby. Really?
And if you turn the tables, if you had Tom saying to Hannah, I've been stood up tonight by the girl I was supposed to meet, do you fancy a go? She'd have gone, piss right
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
You know, that's
the difference of the sexes, you know. It's like, anyway, so don't worry, Abby, Tom didn't see it as any, you know, disparaging comment towards him, and that he was quite some social second. Tom was totally fine with it. Anyway, so that's all the calls are loose.
Okay.
All right then. So it's that part of the show where I pretend to go and drink camp coffee, something which I didn't even know existed before I started doing Dumby Dumb with Lucy, because camp coffee was what her grandmother drank. But somehow people thought that it was me that drank the camp coffee because I said I drank instant coffee, which actually, Lucy, I tell you what, I can't drink instant coffee anymore.
Really?
No, I really can't.
You have come over to the dark side.
No.
Italian dark side.
No, I can't drink coffee at all. Messes with me tum-tum. Really? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So last year, it was just before I came to America last year. So last year, August, really was feeling really sick and icky.
I remember.
Yeah. And this was going on for weeks. And somebody, a bit of a nurse type person, said to me, before you run off to the doctors, do a food diary and just note what you eat and take one thing out one at a time. First thing I took out was coffee because I was drinking, five cups of coffee a day. Let's say three to four. First thing in the morning, one during the day, and then one in the evening. Always have black coffee. Took that out, right as rain within 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. I went, oh my God, it's coffee. And then, so stopped drinking it since I've been over here. And then, but I go to coffee shops, not quite every day, but most days, to edit shows and to work because I work by myself. So you find yourself walking into a coffee shop, and I don't really like tea. And they don't do English breakfast tea in coffee shops anyway, really. And I don't like green tea and all that kind of stuff. So every now and then I'd say I'll have a coffee, and then you feel fine, but it's a cumulative effect. If I have two or three, then, oh, and last week, my tum just went all over the place because I'd gone to the bloody coffee shop and had about three coffees in like 2 days. So I just can't abide the stuff. So no camp coffee for me, no black coffee, no instant coffee, no ground coffee, no coffee anything, right? So, but it's an ad break.
Well, Frank goes our sponsorship by Camp Coffee.
Anyway, so it's an ad break. And if you're in England, you will actually hear an ad. And if you're not, it'll seamlessly go on to our social media roundup.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Good day, everyone. Well, we started the week talking about the conversation between Lizzie and Pip, and we were very puzzled that Lizzie didn't tell Pip about Russ. Tori Eames Matthews said, I think Pip might be able to talk some sense into Lily, or at least Lily might confide in Pip when things start to go pear-shaped. I absolutely agree, Tori. That's why I was so confused that it was being sort of sidelined. Glyn Fuller Love said the news is presumably all around the college. Very surprised everyone in Ambridge doesn't know. Well, I guess there's some distance between the college and Ambridge. And Jessica Dysel said, I thought that it was odd that Elizabeth didn't say anything, Pip could have been an ally. Yeah, it does seem so odd. And Liz seems to really appreciate and respect Pip. I was just very surprised by that. We also talked about whether Jazza needs to have a health check, and I got a little slap on the wrist from Witherspoon because I didn't realise he'd said something about it in the last podcast, but that's because my podcast came down very late in Australia for some reason. Must have gone via Bulgaria or something. Anyway, I hadn't realised that, but we discussed it anyway. And Liz Villalobos said, worrying about Jazza is necessary. Jazza won't do it, so we have to. Becky Land said, Tom, Jazza, Kefa is very hood for you. Oh. Tori Eames Matthews says, I've been thinking the same. Is this heading towards a health scare for our Jazza? And Laura Jackson said he's probably not been to the doctor since his mum last took him. Yeah, lots more in that vein. We were just a bit worried about him, and we hope that this resolves soon because it turns out that we all very much love the Jazza character. And we also had a bit of a discussion about the wonderful karate master. Now, I'm a secondary teacher, not a primary teacher, and I was so impressed with how the karate master handled Henry. All of you primary teachers out there, you wonderful human beings, you're probably like, yep, that was the way to deal with it. But I was like, I would never have thought of that. So well done to the karate master. And a little bit of me hoped that he and Helen might have a thing later on, but we'll see. And Jean Bell said, I hope Helen reacts in a sensible way to the news. Andrea Williams said he's going to get off with Helen. So that's you and me, Andrea. And Leslie Grace pointed out that she was very surprised Henry knows any superheroes if he's protected from popular culture. Now, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. That was very interesting.
Playground at school.
And Linda Preta said, I don't think she will. Then they'll make friends and get married. So, yeah, well, there's a possible future storyline for all of us. And we also talked about Alistair, who was so kind, so very, very kind with Freddie. And Karen Cunningham said that she'd like to see Alistair and Sheila back together, if only because they'd spoil another couple. No, I do like Alistair, actually. I can't believe for a minute that Sheila would ditch him just like that because they're in their cardigan years without even trying to pep things up, what with her Christian principles and keeping her vows to God and all. It really is the strangest storyline. And Ellen O'Connell said that she thinks that Alistair will enjoy his life post-divorce, unlike Sheila, who will probably return to type and be miserable. Well, she's already doing that, isn't she? Anyway, we did have a very busy week on the Dumpty Dum Facebook page. I would just also like to point you towards two other things. One is that on Saturdays, Witherspoon very kindly puts up a non-Archers post, and they are always just a kind of connection for us without talking about Ambridge and the Archers. So I really encourage you to get involved with that. And also that the worst character of the week, which I have talked about before, which is on another Archer's Facebook page, which is Upstairs at the Ball, continues to go from strength to strength. And there's been some great robust debates on there. And I must admit, I do touch base with that every week just for the worst character of the week. And also because I absolutely love the graphics that are done for that with the winner. There's always a lot of debate about who the winner is and whether they should have won. So lots of ways to get involved with the Archers on Facebook, but of course we want you to get involved with us most of all. And we are on Facebook, and just look for Dumpty Dum and you will find us. And next week it will be the lovely Yoko Bear. And until I speak to you again, I say to you, hooroo.
Hooroo.
Ta-ra, love. Yeah, so Henry, popular culture, superheroes, the playground. I did kind of say that halfway through. But that Henry did make, I did think of Henry this week. I saw a film called The Other Woman, which stars Natalie Portman. And she plays the stepmother to a child. Basically, she's dealing with her own daughter's death. And she's married to a guy who she used to work for. She had an affair with him, broke up his family. And a lot of the film is her relationship with her stepson. And this child is approximately maybe a year or so older than Henry is supposed to be. Their speech patterns couldn't be more different. How old is Henry supposed to be now? Eight?
Eight. Eight, yeah.
So that scene with Lee, it was a nice scene. It was nice, with a capital nice, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But he still sounds like he's 3.5 to 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was really struck by watching this child who is supposed, I think this child's supposed to be about 9, and he's about to go off to prep school in this film, The Other Woman, and how intelligent this child actually was. He could actually string together sentences in a very coherent and cogent way. And I turned to Jennifer, who's an Archers fan, and I said, doesn't speak like Henry Archer, does he? And she just burst out laughing. And they really do need to move this up a gear with Henry's whole delivery. Because come on now. If it's a case of they can't coax the kid to be any more, to sound like his age, just get another actor. Change mid, just switch him off for a month or so, then bring back another Henry. You know, we'll get used to it in 2 days.
Yeah.
But by the way, folks, don't think that me mentioning The Other Woman was any kind of endorsement. So, you know, I'm not saying go and watch that film. It's utterly a TV movie. I was hoodwinked into it on Netflix because they had Natalie Portman. quite like her. She makes good films. Oh, God, no. And she was the executive producer on this as well. It was obviously a book. And she thought, oh, I'll put my teeth into this, but oh God, no. Don't watch it, folks. Do not watch The Other Woman. Unless it's a wet, rainy Sunday and you've got nothing else better to do. Lucy, tweets of the last 7 days. Come on, chop chop.
Yeah. You should always have something better to do than watch a terrible film on television. But anyway, there we are. Right, hang on. I've now got my tweets of the week all over the shop. Right. I really empathized with this tweet. Jules Hillier, my train goes through Prudder. Certain I know someone there and have been racking my brain, just about to text a group of family and friends to ask. Then I remembered it's Ruth Archer's mum. I need to get out more. I've done that. I've kind of thought of something and said, oh, that happened to a friend of mine. Then thought, no, it wasn't a friend of mine. It was someone on the Archers. Colin Hynink said, we had a power cut on a Friday. We stared at a blank screen instead of listening to the Archers. The plot arcs and narrative thrust was surprisingly similar. Ooh, that's mean. Esther Pickle said in response to this, tumbleweed episodes are the best. You secretly love them. I have fond memories of that The Archers episode that included 12 minutes of Jenny, Darling and Peggy trying to negotiate a pedestrian crossing. Yes, I remember that. It was outside Fabrice of Felbersham. Sorry, I've managed to mess up all my formatting this week, so I'm now all over the place. Aristides said, I can't be the only one wondering whether turning horrible Henry into the child with weaponized hands is a good idea. Absolutely not. And tweet of the week was from the alternate Archer, who said, Shula saying, you mustn't give up trying, Elizabeth. Take it from me. You have to keep trying. Like me with my map. No, well, anyway, keep trying.
That was very good. Very, very good. Right, Arloose. Should we just rattle on and get to the end of this? Because I'm sure we've both got very busy and full and frank days that we need to attend to. Well, I do anyway, because it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. What is it, 6 o'clock for you?
It is, yes.
So what are you going to do after Dumpty Dum?
I have to go to my leaping around and getting hot class. And then I am meeting my friend Jane.
Ooh. What are you going to do with Jane? You're going to go to a wine bar in Walthamstow and have a glass of...
Nope, she's coming.
Ooh, she's coming round?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Cooking some scran?
Yes, probably.
Nice.
Anything very else nice. You want to know about my private life?
There's loads I'd like to know. But yeah, loads I would like to question you. But the thing is, you might tell me, but not over Dum-de-dum. Right. All right, folks. So dumdydum.com, go there. It's got a shop and it's got all sorts going on. We fixed it. It's back up. It's fast. There is a very small community of listeners on that forum. Go and be part of it. Make it a little bit bigger. dumdydum.com. And don't forget, of course, we are having the Archers Dumdydum Weekend in Birmingham in less than two weeks' time.
Stop saying that.
Well, it's accurate, Lucy. You got, and also, I say it for marketing purposes.
But it sounds a nice long way away. If you say October, it sounds ages away, you see. And really? Then I don't worry.
It's September the 25th, and you think October is a long way.
Honestly, stop saying it. God.
Right. Now, for the sake of subtly drumming up more sales, I have to say things like 10 days or like it's coming soon, because then people go, oh, I don't want to miss that. Say, tell them it's like, if I was to, you know, put it into minutes or hours or even seconds, then it would sound like, oh, I've got loads of time. But you got to like, you know. Anyway, so Archers Weekend starts on the 6th in Birmingham. We've got a hotel booked if you need accommodation. We've got the BBC Mailbox Tour. There's only five places left on that, folks. We're going to have dinner together. We're going to dance the night away. And there's a canal walk on the Sunday. And, of course, then there's Dumdydum on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. So Google Dumdydum Live Birmingham, and you can buy your tickets from Birmingham Town Hall. Go on to dumdydum.com and you can buy the individual bits of the weekend. Now, I should have said this at the top of the show. We need more reviews, folks. Please write us some reviews. Go onto iTunes or a podcatcher of your choice and write some reviews. On next week's episode, we will go and thank the people that have written us some reviews in the last couple of months. We've had some corkers and some very, very like sweet comments and stuff. So we will actually thank you in next week's episode. Lucy, do you want to take over and say some stuff?
No.
All right, cool.
I don't need to, do I?
Remember, folks, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, which is www.dumdydum.com.
I have got something to say. Am I supposed to not, because people get cross apparently when I tell them what tweet of the week is. So do I not say that then? Or do I?
I was surprised that so many people liked that comment. So she's obviously not the only person to think that.
Okay. So I should not say who is tweet of the week.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that.
But how do I let people know, though, that they were in the podcast?
I think you've just got to wait until I do the show. And then that is the inherent problem, because I don't always do it straight afterwards. Sometimes it can be like a day and a half's lag. But I think you just have to just wait, basically. I think that was really the point that she's trying to make.
Right. Mm. Okay. Gotcha.
Mm. All right.
Okay. Right. Sorry. Right. I'll stop doing that.
Right. Why don't you do the Patreon bit and I'll go. Remember to get in contact. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, which is dumdydum.com, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave us a message.
I've lost the script. if you enjoy Dumpty Dum and you want us to keep doing it, though God knows why, please become a Patreon subscriber. It is around £2 a week, as Andrew said, or you can save it all up and do it in a big wadge at the end. All the details are at patreon.com. Your subscription pays for the cost of the equipment we need to do the podcast. Otherwise, it would just be me and Roy Field shouting across the Atlantic at each other. It also means you get to access lots of extra content. We do notice who subscribes to us. We do, really. And we are properly grateful.
And just a little note of clarification about the, you said £2 and you meant $2, but that's an easy mistake to make.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody did say that, but it did remind me of something. Somebody said on some forum somewhere about Dumdydum, why are they asking for it in dollars? It's all a bit fishy to me. I don't want to send people dollars. Now, to the person that said that on whatever forum when I saw that, We have absolutely no control over the currency which Patreon uses. Patreon is obviously a US country. Well, obviously, it's a US country, and the majority of websites and internet-based activities that people get payments for, I presume, are American. Though it has to be said, considering Patreon's been around for some like 4 or 5 years, you'd have thought by now that have the ability for you to change currencies. So you can do it in the currency of your own country if you're outside of the US. So I forget your name because I even forget where I actually saw this message where you said, this is sus. I don't like it. All this Russian hacking, then you're asking for money in dollars. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. But Patreon is incredibly secure. And there are properly are legit business, and for what it's worth, because the pound is crashing around our ears because of Brexit, those $2 are worth in English pounds what? Oh God, I really should know this off the top of my head. I don't know about £1. I'm going to say £1.70 is what you're actually paying per show. It's approximately that. All right, so there you go. Now, social media, Twitter, which is where the show came out of, isn't it? Twitter is the mother and father of Dumpty Dum, isn't it, Lucy?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Because that's where I saw your tweet and I thought she is very funny and she likes the Archers. I want to be her friend. And you said, okay, I will trust you. Though, this is all a bit sus. And you came onto the show and we did birth a Dumpty Dum. So we did. You can find Lucy and I at Dumpty Dum on Twitter. Lucy is found at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield, where I just put up pictures of my mum and dad and my kids, because that's what I'm like. And of course, there is the Book of Face. It's Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg's thing. Go on there and you can do the Witherspoon, Yokel Bear and Millie Bell 3 Ring Circus show and join the 2,000 other people that on a daily, weekly, monthly basis contribute to the whole smorgasbord, the old ether that is the world of Dumpty Dum. Now, that's me. Just about got through the script. Any passing shots, Lucy?
No. Only please laugh a lot in Birmingham because I'm nervous.
You're only going to have like 200 people that you're going to be monologuing to. What's there to be nervous about?
I know.
And it's not like you haven't done it before. You've delivered at least four. Speeches, monologues, etc. In front of an audience before. You did the Nigel dinner, you did the Dumpty Dum Awards.
Yes, but not sitting up on a stage.
What are you talking about? We've done two at the BBC Club.
Yeah, but that wasn't a stage. Everyone was on, I was on the same level. It's fine. I'm just being panicky and neurotic. It's fine.
Lucy, your level is so exalted. You've always been on another level to the rest of us. Poor bits of humanity.
Rubbish.
Yeah, it's so not. Your brain is furiously quick, witty, when it comes to all things, not even just all things fucking comedic. You're just bloody bright woman. So why are you wittering on and pretending like this is a hassle for you? Heaven only knows.
Because I have, do you know what? I have now sold my house.
Oh.
And when you sell your house, they put a thing up on site, on top, a sticker on top of the bit that says for sale, that says sold. Right? And I sold my house once and then it went wrong and then I sold it again. So the thing went up and then the sale fell through. So I took the thing down that said sold and then I sold it again. So I put it up. And I was very pleased with myself because I am not remotely practical, as you know, and probably everyone else knows. And I was congratulating myself on it and then thought, hang on, it looks a bit odd. And I had put slod because I had put it backwards. And it took me 3 days to realize. And it's taken me 4 hours this morning to work out how to clean my own coffee machine. So honestly, when you say you're so brave, I shouldn't be allowed out without a responsible adult, and that's what worries me. You see,
but you're going to be in the company of 200 responsible adults. You'll be fine.
Oh, that's true. Yes,
okay. You'll be fine. And if on your tombstone it says one thing and one thing only, it'll be she made shitloads of people laugh because of her quips about the archers. What that you know. Be proud of that. Embrace that. It won't say.
She couldn't tell her right from her left.
Oh, I tell you what. Frankie Richards. Frankie Richards.
Who's that?
I went to school with him. He was a big lump. Oh, sorry. Big lump was our Frankie Richards. He was like 10 foot tall. And like he looked like a man when he was 14. Like, oh, he's a,
right.
Like,
oh,
he was he the... Was he the fullback? Wasn't the fullback? I forget what position he played for our rugby team at school. Anyway, he was 15. Jane Glue had to explain to him what was his right and left. He wasn't bright after.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and she said,
him.
The hand that you write in, Frankie, is your right. And he went, what? Run that one by me again. Our gym teacher was saying, Frankie, run left, run right. And he was just doing whatever. And it dawned on us,
like a chicken,
at the age of 15, he didn't know his right from his left. And his girlfriend took him in hand, quite literally, said, right, Frankie.
This is where it's been going wrong, Frankie.
Yeah. Goodness, Frankie Richards. Anyway, a lovely bloke, Frankie. But yeah, didn't know his right from his left. Right. And has the sky fallen on Britain yet? When I get back there in 2 weeks' time, will there be a country left? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
There will be. Ooh.
We'll still be dithering, I would imagine.
Phew.
The dither will be going. Yeah.
Right then, folks.
Business as usual.
That's us signing out. But don't forget, if you want some more Lucy action, there will be a walkie-talkie coming in the next 7 days.
Yes.
Yeah. She's been interviewing interesting and important people. And anything can be fussed with me talking about shite. There is the Things That Made England, which is doing rather well, actually. And do you know Margaret Calvert, Lucy?
No.
She is the woman who designed all the road signs in the United Kingdom.
Oh.
She is an utter genius and one of the most unheralded Brits of our age. Nobody knows of her name, but we see her work all day, every day, and it helps keep us safe. Because I'll tell you something for nothing, Luce. All right.
What?
The government, in their wisdom, at the start of the 60s, says, bloody hell, loads of accidents on British roads. Got this woman to design these set of signs, and we now have the lowest rate of road traffic deaths in the developed world. And in part, it is down to this woman. And she got an OBE a couple of years ago, and it wasn't a moment too soon. So go and listen to the Things That Made England this week, where we talk about road signs and how they are an act of national branding and something which keeps us distinct as a culture from others. Doesn't mean that we're any better, folks, before people think I'm being jingoistic and nationalistic about it, but we are just that little bit different. Anyway, so that's me. Things That Made England. Of course, there is Mid-Atlantic. That's me saying goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.